Welcome to Souls Harbor Church. We're glad you're here. You can also join us in person at 2601 North Meridian in Wichita, Kansas. We have services at 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. on Sundays and 7 p.m. on Wednesday nights. We are a place of grace and a Bible-believing Pentecostal church where everyone is welcome to come and experience God. On behalf of Pastor Clark and all of us at Souls Harbor, I invite you to come and worship the Lord with us. I know you'll be blessed. Now let's join the service. Now the word anything, and this isn't my message, but I'm going to go there because the Lord's taken us there. The word anything, that doesn't mean a few things, it doesn't mean some things, it doesn't mean the things we can get our head around. It means anything, amen?
Yes, amen.
That means the things we think, well, maybe that's too big for God. He can do those. Oops, sorry. That means the things that we start to wonder if we can handle it, God can handle those. All of that stuff falls under anything. Amen? So if you believe that, if you've been asking God for something this week, if you've had a need from God for something this week, I want you just to put your arms up in the air and begin to praise Him and thank Him for what He's already doing. Father God, we thank You, Lord, that the prayers we've made tonight, we already have answers on. Lord, we thank You, Father God, that You're healing, that You're moving, that You're doing in Jesus' name. Father, we love You and we know that You can do anything. Father, we love You and we praise You for it, Lord. We thank You, Father God, in Jesus' name. Lord, we ask You to bless this service tonight, Father. Lord, bring Your word forward the way You'd have it delivered, Father. Hide me behind the cross, Lord, and You teach this message, Lord. Bring it to Your children the way You would have us to hear it, in Jesus' mighty name, Lord. We thank You, we praise You, and we give You glory. Amen. Amen. I tell you what, Christianity is often called a bloody religion. We hear that a lot of times, even in the media. They say, well, it's that bloody religion over there. You know, they're all about blood. Critics say we focus too much on the blood. They say it drives people away, that people don't want to hear about the blood. I even heard a seminary message one time where they were teaching young preachers. They were telling them, don't spend too much time on the blood because it scares people away. And I was like, oh my goodness, I'm glad I'm not going to that Bible school. But you know, they also say that we overuse the symbolism of blood, that it's all symbolic and it's all symbolism. And the reality is Christianity is a bloody religion. And I'm okay with that. Because you know what? My religion has something that none of the rest of them have. They don't have the blood of Jesus Christ. They don't have that in their religion. And that's why they're living in a dead religion that can't help them and can't do anything for them. You know, the blood's a critical part of what we believe. In the Old Testament, it was the blood of animals as sacrifices to God, hoping for mercy from Him. In the New Testament, nowadays, it's the blood of the sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ, that was offered as final, permanent, and perfect sacrifice. When we need something from God, we don't have to go out and get ourselves a lamb and hope it's good enough. We don't have to go to a priest and say, hey, can you take this into the Holy of Holies because I'm not allowed to go. And the reason for that is the blood, because the blood's already been shed for us. We already have the permanent, perfect sacrifice for us. And in medicine, the blood's also a critical source of life in our bodies. When the doctor wants to know what's going on, he draws blood. It's one of the first things they do. It's one of the things they'll jump right on. Let's get some blood, see what's going on. They want to count everything that's in there. They want to know how many of this kind of cell, how many white cells, how many red cells, how much hemoglobin, how many platelets. Lots of other medical terms I can't pronounce. But that's how they start to figure out what's going on in our bodies, is they dig into the blood and they want to understand what's in there. They look for the right combination of elements to support life and our body's functions. If you have too much of something, it's a problem. If you don't have enough of something, it's a problem. But that's what they want to do, is they want to understand what's in that blood. Well, tonight I want us to understand what's in the blood of Jesus. We're going to do a little bit of a blood count, if you will. We're going to take a look in the blood and see what's in there for us. Why does it matter? Why is it so important? Because I tell you what, it contains everything that we need for our lives. It has all the proper elements and all the proper balance, exactly what we need, exactly when we need it, how we need it. That blood is perfect for our life. And that's what I want us to really dig into tonight. We're going to spend some time on that. We're going to take a look at what that report would tell us if we were to go do a blood count. And you know, God did that for us. He presented it in His Word. He gave us the blood count for the blood of Christ. He told us everything that's in there, and it's in this Bible. And I've got a lot of scripture tonight. So I've got a handout for you at the end. I won't give it to you now because you'll cheat and read ahead on me and you won't pay attention to me. You'll read my handout instead. But because there's so much scripture and because there's a list of stuff we're going to go through, at the end of the evening, Christy's got it back there for you, a handout that has everything I'm going to cover. So don't feel like you've got to hurry to try to keep up because we're going to go a lot of places, but you'll be able to go back and really look at it and dig into it. So the first and most important thing that we find in the blood of Christ is covenant. Jesus said in Matthew 26 and 28, and I'm reading out of the New International Version, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." The King James translates it as testament instead of covenant, but every other translation says covenant, and it's actually more true to the actual Greek word is covenant. And the covenant of the blood is the single most important aspect in that blood, because without the covenant, the rest of it doesn't matter. If we don't have that agreement and that covenant with God, none of the rest of this matters because we're all in trouble. Amen? That covenant is critical. So that's the most important thing we're going to find in that blood. And a covenant is an agreement, a contract, a promise. It's solemn, it's holy, and it's powerful. It's more than just us shaking hands and saying, yes, this is serious business when there's a covenant, and especially when there's a covenant with God. And God chose to make that covenant with us not just anywhere, but in the blood of his only begotten Son. That was important. God was sending a message that this covenant on his end cannot be broken. We can break it. We can absolutely break it. But God's word can't be broken. If that covenant gets broken, it won't be him that does it. It'll be us that does it. That covenant is good. We can take that word to the bank because we know it's true. And that's the first thing we're going to find for us in the blood is the covenant that says we can trust everything else that's in this book. That we can believe everything that's here, every promise is based on that covenant in Jesus Christ's blood. Amen? Life is the next thing that we'll find. When we look in that blood, we find life. John 6 and 53 says, "Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you." So that life, that blood is life to all who accept it. When we accept Jesus, that blood becomes our life source. It becomes the thing that makes us alive in Christ. It gives us our value, our life. It's a spiritual life for all those who know Christ, and it's eternal life to those who believe. It's not life like the life that goes on in this mortal body, this corruptible body. It's going to fall apart. It's going to die someday if the Lord tarries. It's going to get buried in the ground. It's going to return back to dust. But the life that comes from Jesus' blood goes on forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And I could stand up here and do the end evers for another 20 minutes and I wouldn't even begin to scratch the surface of how long that life goes on. It's life that replaces the rightful wages of sin, because the wages of sin is death. And we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So what we deserve, what we're rightfully entitled to, is death. But that blood replaces ours. It stands for us, and it replaces the rightful wages of sin and gives us life everlasting instead. So in that blood, you're going to find life, just like you find in your human body, only so much better. And it is abundant life. It's everlasting. It's full and satisfied. It's not a life of just enough. It's a life of everything that God has for us is found in that blood. We're also going to find relationship in that blood. John 6 and 56 says, "He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him." How much closer a relationship can you have than if you dwell in him and he in you? That relationship is in the blood, because without the blood, there is no relationship. If you go back to prior to Christ, there was no relationship with God. When they wanted to get something from God, they had to go and get an animal, sacrifice it, have the priest go in and hope that he didn't mess up. Because if he messed up, he was just going to die while he was in there and wasn't going to get an answer anyway. There was a whole lot of stuff that went on between them and God because they didn't have a relationship. Through the blood, we have relationship. Through the blood, when I need the Lord, I can reach out and call on him and he answers. Through the blood, when you need the Lord, you can reach out and call on him and he answers. Brother Leonard, I imagine when your son had the issue he had that the very first thing you did was reach out to the Lord. Aren't you glad you didn't have to go find a priest and a lamb and do all that stuff before you could get a hold of God? And it's only through the blood. It's got nothing to do with you and I. It's got everything to do with the blood. It's the connection between God and man that allows us to have communication with God, and it brings that deep and abiding relationship. We're also going to find justification and salvation in that blood. In Romans 3:24 and 25, it says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. And Romans 5:9 says, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. So the blood is what contains the power to make us justified in God's eyes. We're made right. Our debt's paid. Our sins are forgotten and our reputation is restored. And what I mean by that is our reputation with God isn't based on what we did. Our reputation and his thoughts about us are based on that blood. So in that blood is our forgiveness, our justification, our ability to be justified and saved. We're acquitted and found innocent. If you look at what that word justified means, it means to be innocent, to be acquitted. Now, when you go into court, they might find you not guilty. They might find you guilty. That really goes poorly if they find you guilty. But even if they decide you didn't do it, the best they're going to say is you're not guilty. They're never going to say you were innocent. But in God's court, when the blood covers the sin, you are innocent. You're not just not guilty. It's not just he couldn't prove you did it. You're innocent. It's wiped away. It's clean. It's gone. It's history. It's in the past and it doesn't exist and God's forgotten about it long before we ever do. And that's because of the blood. So where modern law may say you're not guilty, the blood says you're innocent. There's also righteousness in that blood. We're going to find the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. See, we're inherently sinful. We're unrighteous. We're damaged goods. And I don't say that to try to tear us down. I say because that's the reality. We're human beings, and as human beings, we're sinful. Yeah. We started sinful. But you know what? Once that blood is in operation in our life, we're not sinful anymore. Yeah. We're made righteous. We're made the righteousness of God that's much better than any righteousness we could ever get. Even if we'd lived perfect lives, as perfect as human beings possibly could, we wouldn't touch the righteousness of God. But we receive that as a free gift through Christ Jesus, through his blood. You know, we take on the very righteous character of God through the power of the blood. We have his same truthfulness, his same faithfulness, and it's consistent with his promises and character. He replaces our human character that's flawed and damaged with his character, with his righteousness that stands for something better, that stands for the word of God. We also receive reconciliation and peace with God through the blood. Ephesians 2:13 says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. We're drawn close to him again. We're able to come close. Because you see, after the fall, God pushed us away. He couldn't deal with us. He couldn't deal with the sin. He couldn't deal with it. He can't look on it. He can't interact with it. But through the blood, we're able to come close to the Father again. Because of Jesus' blood, because of the reconciliation that exists in Christ's blood, we're able to come close. We're drawing nigh. We're able to be made close. You know that word nigh? That means close. It means right up next to him. Not just a little ways. It means right up next to him. It means he's putting his arm around you, Pastor. Amen. He's right there next to you. He's got his hand on you. And that's only because of the blood. Colossians 1:20 says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. See, the blood spans the gap between our sinful nature and God Almighty. It reconciles us. It makes us acceptable to him again, where we were unacceptable prior to that. We're now able to be acceptable to God Almighty. We also find forgiveness. We've talked about that. But there's specifically forgiveness in that blood. Colossians 1:14 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We're forgiven, period. End of the story. We could stop the message right there because we are forgiven. It says it clearly, in whom we have redemption through his blood, not because of us, not because we asked nicely enough, not because we lived good enough, not because we went to enough church services, sang loud enough, clapped loud enough. It's only through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. It's not like when our spouse or our parents when we were kids forgive us. Because I don't know about you, but we tend to hang on to stuff. We remember. You know, we forgive. We're okay with it, but we don't necessarily let it go as well as God does. God's really good at letting things go. I endeavor as a husband to be as good at forgiving as God is at forgiving me. I'm not quite there yet, Pastor, but I'm working on it. I've started getting rid of the list I keep. But it's true forgiveness. It's like it never happened. And that's different than human forgiveness. Because even if we say, it's okay, all right, I forgive you, I love you, it's still in the back of our head because we don't have that ability to cast it as far away as the east is from the west the way our Father does. Thank God he can forget, because if he couldn't, he'd have a whole lot of stuff to remember out of my life. He'd have a whole list. And thankfully, he doesn't keep a list. We also receive redemption from the curse of the law. Galatians 3 and 13 says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. See, the law was a curse. It was something we couldn't live up to. No matter how good we were never going to meet the requirements of the law. So we were cursed from the beginning. We couldn't meet it. It wasn't possible. But because of Christ's blood, we're redeemed from that curse. We don't have to live under that curse. You know, it's interesting because even though the early church believed that, Paul had to keep writing to him and writing to him, telling him, quit putting yourselves back under the law. You've been redeemed from the law. He had to keep writing to him, though, because they just kept trying to do it. They couldn't get their head around what they'd received in the blood of Christ. But Christ took on that curse for us. We don't have to become righteous through the law any longer. We become righteous through his blood, through what he did for us. In that blood, you'll also find freedom and liberty. Galatians 5:1 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. See, sin had a hold on our life before Jesus came. Sin had a hold on our lives before we accepted him. But as soon as we accepted that blood, it broke the yoke of bondage from sin. It set us free. It gave us liberty. We're not tied down by that sin anymore. The devil doesn't have hold of us anymore. If we get ourselves into sin, it's because we allowed it. It's not because of anything that's been done to us. It's not because it's beyond our control. When people say, oh, the devil made me do it, Brother Marvin. Devil didn't make me do it. I made me do it. The devil may have, you know, poked and prodded and might have thought it was funny when I did it. But we can blame him all day long for it. But the Bible says that we've been made free and that we're not to be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. You see, we have the liberty to worship, to praise, to serve God. We also have the ability through the blood to live for God in full freedom. We don't have to be tied down and worry about that sin anymore. We can focus on him because of the blood, because the blood has opened the door and made us free. We've been given that ability through the blood. We also have advocacy and representation through the blood. 1 John 2:1. I think you preached on this the other day, Pastor. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. You know what that means? That means, you know how a lot of times when we were kids, my sister would do this. She'd get herself into trouble, and I'd run to mom and dad, and I'd say, hey, have mercy on her. Don't spank her. Don't get on her. Don't ground her. Don't do whatever it is you're going to do. She didn't mean to. She's sorry. I'd go try to get her out of trouble the best I could. Sometimes. Other times I was like, did you see what she did? Did you see? Do you know what she's up to? Dad, come here. You know what? Jesus doesn't do that to us. He's only our advocate. He sits at the right hand of the Father making constant intercession for us. When we get into trouble, before we can even turn to the Father and say we're sorry, Jesus is already saying, Lord, it's covered under my blood, Father. Don't look at what Jim did. Don't look at what Paul did. Don't look at what Christy did. Well, maybe at what Christy, no. He's saying, don't look at it because it's covered under my blood. He's already advocating for us before we can even start. He's already standing there representing us. We have somebody. You know, the devil stands up there and accuses us. He's called the accuser of the brethren. And he's the one standing up there going, did you see what Paul did, Lord? Did you see? Your Bible says for him not to do that, and he did it. You better go get him, God. And Jesus stands up and he says, no, it's covered under the blood. And the devil has to just go sit down. You know, that's powerful. That's something that no other religion even pretends to have. There's not another religion anywhere that even pretends to have a living Savior who's advocating for us on our behalf. They tell us that all these other religions tell their people to follow a list of stuff. Do all of this stuff, and then maybe this pretend God will have mercy on you. Our religion, our honest, true faith tells us Jesus has your back. He's already advocating for you because of his blood. It's all because of the blood. I tell you what, I wish I could find an attorney on this earth sometimes that was as good as our attorney in heaven. Because that's a good attorney we've got up there, and he's taking care of us all the time. And you know, he never has to go dig into books to figure it out. He knows it all. He's got it all figured out because he is the Word of God. When he speaks, it is the Word of God. We also receive a clean conscience and eternal redemption. Hebrews 9, 12 through 14 says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from the dead works to serve the living God? We get a free and clear conscience in that blood. That blood contains the freedom to let go all the stuff that we did before we knew God. It contains the ability to not carry that around. Because, you know, if we had to carry all that stuff with us, we'd be too busy carrying it to serve God. He knew we couldn't do that, that we couldn't carry all that mess and serve him. So in the blood, we have a clear conscience that allows us to serve God. We know what we were, but we don't carry that with us anymore. You know, we're human. We're never going to forget. We're not going to forget the things we did before, but we don't have to carry it around with us. We don't have to carry the weight of that because of the blood. The blood carries it for us. We're able to have that free conscience. And our redemption is forever, provided that we remain in relationship with him and seek after righteousness. It's not temporary. It's not just redemption for now. It's redemption from now until forever, provided that we stay in the redemption. We can walk away from it. We can leave it alone and it'll go away. But if we stay in the redemption, if we follow after Christ, if we live for him, that redemption lasts forever. It is permanent. You know, the thing I love about this as we go through all of this is we don't have to worry about whether or not it's true because God doesn't change. God doesn't back off of what he said. God's word is good. It never changes. That's why Jesus had to give his blood, because there was no other way. If God was going to forgive us, there was no other way to do it because he couldn't change his word. I imagine he probably walked around heaven and thought, you know, I wish I could just let it go. I wish I could just not do this anymore. I want to save him. I want to take care of him. But I can't because I can't break my own word. But he had to find a way if he wanted to forgive us. Because I also have news for you. He didn't have to forgive us. He didn't have to make this way. He chose to because he loved us. He chose to give that to us as his free gift to us. Because he could have been fully justified, fully right in letting us die in our sin and go to hell. Absolutely 100% fully justified. But God the Father chose. He said, you know what? I want to find a way. I don't want them stuck in this. They're my creation and I love them and I want to take care of them. And then he had to figure out a way to keep his word and provide a way for us. And that way was Jesus Christ. That way was a perfect sacrifice that could cover all of our sins. That wouldn't just roll it forward to the next year, but would destroy sin once and for all. And that was the only way he could do it. And because of that blood, in there we also find confidence and access. Hebrews 10:19-23 says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. I'm going to stop right there. We talked before about what happened in the old times when you had to go find a lamb and you had to go find a priest. And they went in there. I don't think they went in boldly, Pastor, because they had a rope tied around their leg in case they sinned and got killed so they could get the body back out. They didn't get to go in the Holy of Holies with boldness. They went in scared, probably their knees shaking as they went in there, I imagine. We get to walk boldly into the Holy of Holies because it's not about us, it's about the blood of Christ. The blood has destroyed the veil between heaven and earth, between God and us. We have access, we have bold and free access through the blood of Christ. It goes on to say, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. That blood gives us direct, complete access to God. That blood means I can fall down on my knees and say, God, I need you. God, I need your forgiveness. God, I need your help. God, I need your healing. God, I need whatever it is. Or just say, God, I love you. I can just stop and worship God anytime I want. And you can too because of the blood. That's the only way we can get there. That's the only way it's allowed. And you know, it amazes me how many times we forget that we have that direct access. You know, we'll go through things and we'll try to solve it. We'll try to solve it on our own. Finally, somebody will say, well, there's nothing left to do but pray. Dear Lord, has it finally come to that? Are we finally going to pray about it? Are we finally going to reach out and use that access that Christ purchased with his own blood? You know, one of the things that stood out to me, I've told you guys that I found out a while back I was losing my job. And having been in HR as long as I have, I recognized it before I ever walked into the room, because there was the HR person that took care of us, and she was sitting there with her little folder next to my boss, and I thought, oh, that ain't good. I've had that folder before. I know what that folder's all about. And I stopped in the hall and I said, Lord, you got to help me, because I don't know how I'm going to do this. And if we were back before the blood of Christ, I couldn't have done that. That would have fallen on deaf ears, because we wouldn't have had that access. But thank God I had that access, because it kept me from making a fool of myself. I can tell you that much. Because in the flesh, I would have had different things to say, I think, than what I said. But the Lord had my back and he took care of me. And I'm going to share the testimony of just how he's taken care of me on Sunday night. So you got to come back if you want to hear all of that. We also have sanctification. In Hebrews 13 and 12, it says, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. To sanctify is to make holy. It's a process. The blood of Christ gives us the ability to be made holy through Christ, because we can't be holy on our own. We can't be sanctified on our own. We can try. We can be really good people. Hell's going to be full of a lot of really good people who never trusted the Lord. A lot of people who thought they were sitting in church and doing all the right things but never actually trusted the Lord and accepted the blood will still be sitting here when we all go on to glory. I don't want to be in the churches after the rapture, because I think that's going to be a scary place. There's going to be a lot of confused people in those churches trying to figure out what went wrong. We also receive completeness and an ability to serve God. That's also found in the blood. Hebrews 13, 20 through 21 says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. There's that covenant again. See, it didn't happen without the covenant. Make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Other translations say, make you complete. They're in verse 21 where it says, make you perfect. They say, make you complete. See, the blood fills all our empty places. When we come to God, we don't have everything we need to serve him. We don't have that ability in ourselves. We need something from God. We need him to finish us so that we can do what he needs done, so that we can serve him. And as we're washed in the blood, it fills all those empty places. And it gives us what we need. It makes us complete. It finishes the work in our life so that we can serve him, so that we can live for him. Because we can't do it ourselves. We don't have the ability ourselves to do that. But through the blood we do. Through the blood we can absolutely serve him, and we can meet whatever it is that he asks of us. Oh, and one of my favorites. Praise God. One of my favorites. Healing is in the blood of Jesus. We will find healing in there. When we look at that, there's healing in there. 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. It's only through the blood that we have healing. That's the only way. That is the only way that we have access to healing. It only happens through his shed blood. It's a function of the finished work that he did at Calvary. Without his finished work at Calvary and his blood, we wouldn't be able to be healed. Without that healing, my dad wouldn't be seeing and working. Sister Val, I don't think you'd be with us without that. I can look around and see dozens of people. Well, there's not dozens here, but lots of people in this room. I bet we all have a story where if it weren't for that blood and that healing, we wouldn't be here, or we wouldn't be who we are today. Brother Terry, I know you've been healed. We've all got stories of healing that God's given us through the blood, and it's only through the blood. We also receive protection. I'm going to go back to the Old Testament for this one. Exodus 12 and 13, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. See, in the Old Testament, it was the blood of lambs and other animals. In the New Testament, Jesus is the sacrificial lamb, and his blood provides the ultimate protection. When we're living under that blood, we are protected. We have God's protection over us when we're living under the blood. That blood brings us that safety and that protection, just like the blood brought to the children of Israel. That was a foreshadowing of what we would have under the blood of Christ. That's something that we can look back and see. There's a type and shadow of how the blood protects us from the wrath of God now. Because I tell you what, without that protection, I'd hate to think how many times God would have struck me down over the years. And last but certainly not least, that blood has power over the enemy of our souls. When we look in there, we see power. There's lots of scriptures I could have picked, but the one that God took me to is Revelation 12 and 11. And they overcame him, talking about the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. First and foremost, overcoming is a function of the blood of the Lamb. That is the only way we can overcome the devil, is through that blood. That blood gives us the power to tread on serpents. That blood gives us the authority that we have in the name of Jesus. Because none of that would have happened if he hadn't shed his blood for us. That is the only way. See, the testimony only exists because of the blood. Because they said the word of their testimony, we wouldn't have a testimony without the blood. We wouldn't have authority without the blood. We wouldn't have power over the devil. We wouldn't have the ability to walk this world without having to succumb to the devil if it weren't for the blood of Jesus. That is the only way that we make it. That is the only way we can stand against the enemy. You know, Paul talks about the armor of God and putting on the armor of God that we might stand. All of those things are functions of the blood of Jesus Christ. All of it, none of that stuff works without the blood. Without the blood, we wouldn't have access to it. We wouldn't have the faith, the hope, the righteousness, the word, the spirit. We wouldn't have any of that stuff if it weren't for the blood. We only have it because of the blood. You know, doctors are confident about what they know about your body based on knowing the contents of your blood. When they look in your blood, they'll tell you with confidence, this is what's wrong or this is what's right, this is what's going on. We can speak with that same confidence by knowing what's in the blood of Christ that covers our lives. We can know for sure that we have access through the blood he shed at Calvary. We can live our lives for him because of what we know is in his blood. In that blood, we find covenant. We find life. We find relationship, justification and salvation, righteousness, reconciliation and peace, forgiveness, redemption from the curse of the law, freedom and liberty, advocacy and representation, a clean conscience and eternal redemption, confidence and access, sanctification, completeness, healing, physical and spiritual health, protection, and power over the enemy of our souls. So that's the lab report on the blood that we have from Jesus Christ. And it's a pretty good report, amen? I think it's a pretty amazing report. And I tell you what, we are a bloody religion, and I am just fine with that when that's the blood that covers us in this religion. I'm good with that. And you know, when we sing things like, are you washed in the blood, or there's power in the blood, or nothing but the blood, or there's a fountain, or oh, the blood of Jesus. Next time we sing those, start thinking about what's in that blood that we're thinking about, that we're singing about. You know, when we say there's power in the blood, we're not kidding. There's power to save, power to heal, power to justify, power to do all kinds of things in that blood. When we start singing about, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Think about all the things that come in that blood, all of what we find there. I tell you what, pour the blood, Lord, pour it. I want it all. I want to be covered in it all the time. I want to not ever walk outside of that blood. I don't ever want to have that blood flowing in my life. Because it's a scary place when you take all that away. I don't want to be in this world without Jesus. I don't want to be living this life without him. And we can have a deeper understanding of what that blood means to us because he shed it on Calvary so that we would have access to every part and every component of that blood. There's nothing on that list that doesn't belong to us, because we have the blood of Jesus that covers us. Amen. Thanks for joining us here at Souls Harbor Church. We hope you've enjoyed spending time with us and hearing the Word of God. We invite you to join us live for the service and be part of all that God is doing here at Souls Harbor. Be sure to check back each week for our latest message. And in the meantime, be blessed in Jesus' name.